A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders will join us later, as will Mark Borchard to talk MLB trade deadline, his bets on the day, and Pete Futak on college football. Oh, and later, Brian Ortega. Brian, what is it, a sing-along later with you? What's going on?
Yeah, I think we're going to go over some Vegas stuff. We are the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
It's your last day here before Parlay comes back tomorrow, so we want to capitalize on your Vegas expertise.
That's
for
true.
Those who might be
coming
to town
lately. So okay. Excited to share.
Man about town, Brian Ortega. Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcasts with us, as he is kind enough to do each and every Tuesday morning. Drew, and before we move on, we were just texting about it. It is a weird question to ask, what I asked right at the end of the last segment, but it did occur to you as well, right? So I find that fascinating that it came up in your brain as well. You're like, okay, wait a minute, maybe are we doing too much about this? But then you calibrated back to like the place you needed to be about Deshaun football wise.
Yeah, the go-to conversation group with the sharpest football people I know had this same conversation on Sunday night.
Wow.
Basically.
Yeah.
And the voices in the room were very clearly divided between people who had made a bet on Cleveland and people who hadn't. And basically, like, the people who had were basically like, you know, don't overthink it. Watson was playing in a poor system with no Deshaun Hopkins last time, you know, with no DeAndre Hopkins last time we saw him. And he was still, you know, putting up absolutely elite kind of, you know, statistical performance as a passer in a vacuum. And, you know, you can definitely pick apart his statistics, but I think ultimately it may not be 2022 that we see him hit his peak with this Browns team. They probably need to add a couple of weapons in the in the receiving core to really kind of get him to the top three level. But I don't think you should make a mistake and assume that it's not going to work spectacularly well, considering some of the other true strengths of this team and this roster. I mean, I came into last season absolutely convinced that the Browns had one of, a top three roster in the NFL, and that Baker Mayfield, if he had maintained his level from the previous season, that was a Super Bowl contending team. Now Mayfield regressed horrifically and it all kind of came apart at the seams there. But this is still an extremely talented roster with, elite playmakers on both sides of the football, one of the best offensive lines and, you know, supporting cast from a running standpoint, and a coach in Stefanski that runs a scheme that I think lends itself to success, independent of who the quarterback is. And you put a player with the talent of, Deshaun Watson into that system. And I think ultimately it's going to work well. It's just a question of, are they going to be digging themselves out of a hole to win their division? And then from there coming through a couple of road games to get to the Super Bowl, or are they going to be on the outside looking in as a wild card? So it's tough for me to see them finding a way to a one seed, certainly with the schedule, with the challenge of the current landscape in the AFC North. But, this is a team that I would absolutely put in the contenders in the AFC, which is, again, we talked about it a ton, I feel like, this offseason, but, the AFC had the better conference last year, and it was not especially close. And all they did in the offseason was they sent Carson Wentz to the NFC. They sent Drew Lock to the NFC. They brought back Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
They brought back Russell Wilson. And you get Deshaun Watson, and you get Lamar Jackson back now.
Devontae Adams.
So the imbalance of power, which was already pretty stark, has gotten even more pronounced. I think outside of some absurd long shots that I've bet, who I just think have just general, market's going to shorten, this team could be in the mix upside. I think the best bets to be made on the AFC are going to be in season as you capture some teams that have, playoff potential, playoff run potential, that aren't in especially great positions as you get around, you know, Thanksgiving time frame.
It's so funny when you put it that way. We'll send you Drew Lock and Carson Wentz, and we want your best.
You give us Russell Wilson. We'll send you Drew Lock.
Okay. We'll send you. Okay. We'll send you a couple fine quarterbacks. Okay, so about by the way, Browns, just to be clear, Browns AFC North 3-1 at BetMGM, 16-1 AFC, 30-1 Super Bowl at BetMGM. They actually got a little longer to make the playoffs in some spots, which was an interesting reaction to some of the news yesterday. I want to talk real quick, though, about 4-6 weeks ago, I think that was the timeline. You sort of said, I kind of asked you a broad question about your NFL betting this offseason. You're like, it's been a weird one for you where you really haven't pulled the trigger on as many things as you typically had at that time of year. Has that changed? Have you added a bunch of stuff since that time?
No. I'm trying to pick off some crazy long shot prices, but I'm definitely not filling up a portfolio to start the season like I have in years past. The most of the bets that I'm making right now are in the 50-1 or longer range, I think realistically the 17 game season changes the paradigm of how I'm approaching the futures overall. I think the awards markets are still very attackable, but the futures and the win. I don't think I have bet a single win total so far this season. Number one, the liquidity isn't quite where I was hoping for in some of the alt markets.
I haven't either.
Just the flat out win totals. Number one, the adjustments, the corrections that the market came up with in and around May, I thought were pretty appropriate across the board. So there wasn't tons and tons and tons of, mispriced median expected win totals across the NFL. And then the idea of tying up that, have an edge against, the market in terms of how a team is power rated currently, I think I'm going to be better off betting those teams week in, week out through the first handful of weeks of the season than tying up a bet on -110 for for 4 months.
So that's this. So just to crystallize it, the general strategy is wait for it to play out a few weeks and then get better numbers than you might have otherwise.
Certainly in the AFC, yes. Yeah. I think if you can corner a team that you think has potential to surprise in the NFC, that's a little bit of a different story. We've gotten about halfway through our previews at this point between me and Andy talking on the deep dive. And so far, the only one where I've really had to truly correct course as we went through and did the full breakdown was the Eagles. I was sort of on the outside of the Eagles conversation. Like, this team has lots of buzz, enjoy, best of luck to you. Yeah, they made a bunch of acquisitions, but the quarterback still has a relatively low ceiling in terms of, he's not going to be a top 10 guy in my eyes. But then we went through kind of a little bit more carefully how they've composed that roster, and it's very, very strong. And then we went through the schedule in particular, and that is one of the weaker schedules that I have seen in the NFL in a long time. They basically got extremely solid breaks in terms of both sequencing and just quality of opponent. The kind of the Achilles heel of the Eagles in my mind is the secondary still. They don't really face an elite quarterback all season outside of Aaron Rodgers, who we know has questions about his weapons in the passing game right now. So the Eagles got the type of schedule that lends themselves to really surprising the league in terms of overachieving their win total. And I think there are ways to capitalize on that, like most wins at 20-1, as opposed to just playing their win total over, where you get a little bit better payday for a true kind of outlier upside performance out of them.
You made a comment about the awards markets. Is there an award market you like a bet in right now at this moment?
Okay, I should tell you pretty clearly, the awards markets were and still are probably beatable, but they are extremely reactive.
Yes.
You breathe on them and they move aggressively. So I don't think any price that I've bet all offseason is within, within 5% at this point. And I don't even think it's because the market broadly agrees with me. I think it's probably just my action. So I don't have a great handicap for you here. That's
okay.
There's a great plus EV bet to be made. I talked about this with Jeff while you were on vacation. Hopefully you had an amazing vacation, by the way. Great to see you back.
Thank you, sir.
I talked about this with Jeff while you were gone, and we were basically saying, okay, Niners camp is about to start. Trey Lance has this job locked up. The positive, every single positive story is going to, you know, elicit a reaction on his MVP price. So you need to get the 50 to ones, the 60 to ones now, before all of that news kind of trickles into the market and really shapes and makes him a contender in the eyes of, you know, price. And he, you know, you look now at some of the sharper books, he's in the 22 range. So, I think that's a correct price, closer, you know, more closely to correct than 50 to 1, 60 to 1. But if you can find some stale numbers, then that's worthwhile. I think basically if you go to a sharp book right now and look at their awards prop numbers and then compare it to whatever you're, wherever you're betting, maybe you can find some slow movers. But that awards market has been volatile.
Drew, we appreciate it. Again, sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll have you back for the full time next time.
All good, man. Hey, enjoy. Welcome to football this week, man.
Yeah, man. Preseason beginning.
We didn't even get to talk San Jose, WTA.
All right, we'll have you back then this week. Coming back, we'll get Drew's picks on the break as well. Aaron Schatzman.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on The Numbers Game, live from the South Pole Hotel Casino. Tip of the strip, it's Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parlay. By the way, our timing got knocked off this morning because we had some technical difficulties at the beginning, but Drew wanted to pass on a couple tennis thoughts, and so I want to get those out here. He did grab, by the way, ladies are in San Ho in D.C. That tournament in San Ho is stacked. Men are in Cabo in D.C. He likes Paula Badosa to win the tournament in San Ho at 9-1. And in D.C., he took Victoria Azarenka at 11-1. So for those interested in some week futures, week meaning W-E-E-K, this week's futures in tennis, there you go. Badosa in San Ho, Azarenka in D.C. from Drew, 9-1, 11-1 respectively. Let's talk some football. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a true pioneer in the analytics study of professional football and college football these days as well, but really cut his teeth in pro football back in the day when he observed Bill James doing it for baseball for so many years, and he said, why doesn't anybody do this for pro football? I know, I'll do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the founder of Football Outsiders. It's Aaron Schatz. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good to see you.
Good to be on with you.
Good to see you, and we're going to have you on a couple times this week. The Essential Guide to the 22 NFL and College Football Seasons, Football Outsiders Almanac 2022 is upon us. How many years have you done the Almanac now?
This is our 18th preseason book, and it's going to be our 20th year covering the NFL. We were founded in 2003.
Wow. I mean... Yeah. Are we closer to retirement than we are to the beginning now? I mean, that's unbelievable.
I am actually closer to retirement than I am to the beginning, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean
when we say the original football analytics site, we mean the original.
Yes.
Like, we've been doing this a long time.
So we sort of planned out, we're going to talk NFC today and AFC next time. We have you for a couple segments, but let me just start out with a couple macro things. First of all, for those who are unfamiliar with the Almanac, it's worth it for the year in quotes alone. It's always very humorous to go through. You guys cull those over the course of a season and some of the ridiculous things that people say throughout the National Football League. But one of the topics here at the beginning, as I'm reading through it, you go through your Super Bowl favorites, you do all of your projections, and the Buffalo Bills, if we could just do the whole macro thing at this point, the Buffalo Bills come out in 10%, slightly more than 10% of your simulations to win the Super Bowl. But the noteworthy part of that is, those are the worst odds you've ever produced for the team that goes into the season with the highest odds to win it all?
Yeah. So what's really strange about our simulation this year is that everything, and we're usually more conservative than Las Vegas, but even this year, we are even more conservative than usual. I have to take a look at it, actually. It's a little disconcerting how conservative our simulation ended up with.
Yeah.
But we ended up with everything closer to 500, closer to average than we usually do, which I think suggests that there's more of a anybody could do it aspect to this season than most seasons. I think that the best teams have gotten a little weaker and the worst teams are a little better than usual. And we may see some surprises this year, but out of all of those teams, like even, knowing that things are closer to average than usual, the best team is the Buffalo Bills.
The other thing that stuck out, just again from the intro to the whole thing, before I even dove into team by team, was the notion that the Rams, the way that they won the Super Bowl was a very sort of, you know, the strategy was we're going to go all in here. We're going to grab as many players, you know, veteran players as we can that we think will help that cause. And they got to the promised land doing that. And I'll paraphrase here, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially what you're saying is you have some doubts as to whether teams that are trying to mimic that strategy will be able to even come close to doing the same.
Yeah, because if you think about sort of the basis of Moneyball and analytics in sports is to try to optimize by taking advantage of inefficiencies in the market. And the Rams did that. They took advantage of an inefficiency in the market where essentially draft picks have been a little overvalued and veteran players a little undervalued. Well, now, because of everybody copying the Rams, veteran players will not be undervalued. They'll be properly valued. And therefore, it will be harder to build a go for it now, you know, push your chips all into the middle of the table type team like the Rams built and win the Super Bowl with it.
So in the NFC specifically, was there a favorite, speaking of Vegas markets, speaking of betting markets, was there a favorite win total or a futures play in the NFC that you liked based on your numbers?
I think that my favorite NFC futures total is New Orleans over 8.
Ooh. And the reasoning, the primary reasoning being?
We have New Orleans as the number one projected defense in the league.
Wow.
They were third last year. Being the number one projected defense doesn't mean you will be number one, but it means that the range of possibilities for you is the best of any defense in the league. Their offense, meanwhile, Winston was above average last year when he played. So, like, let's imagine that he's not quite as good as he was last year. And let's imagine that Michael Thomas does not come back as good as he was before his injury. Then the Saints have an average offense, probably, with the number one defense in the league. That is a playoff contender. Now, imagine that Winston is as good as he was last year, and that Michael Thomas comes back and is Michael Thomas, and they added Chris Olave. Even if you dock them a bit for losing Sean Payton, which you should, that's still probably a little bit of an above average offense combined with one of the top defenses in the league. Now you're really talking about like 10 wins. Will they challenge the Tampa Bay Buccaneers without a lot of injuries? I don't think that that's likely, but I think that they are a wild card team and I really like them going over 8.
Where do you stand? I was just talking to Drew Dinsick here before the break, and he was among many, I mean, I think anecdotally this offseason, the Philadelphia Eagles have gotten as much sort of in vogue buzz as any team. Where do your numbers stand on the Eagles juxtaposed against betting markets?
Love the Eagles, but the betting markets raised them up to the point where they're no longer like a great bargain, right? Like,
yeah.
Even the juice wants you to go under, not over. And I mean, I think it's over for the Eagles, but you know, now that it's gone to 9.5, that's not such a great bet. I prefer actually the Eagles to win the NFC or win the Super Bowl. I think that those are better bets than the Eagles to go over 9.5 as far as like, you know, your how much money you'll make back on your bet.
Right.
We do really like the Eagles. They've added a ton of talent. I'm not going to say we like totally believe in Jalen Hurts, but adding Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, adding A.J. Brown, getting Brandon Graham back from injury, and they have the easiest projected schedule in the league.
So I hope everybody understands what he's saying. We alluded to it in previous segments. Be creative in which bets you take on all of these teams. Some are going to have obviously more value than others. You don't have to just go regular season wins and assume that's the best at all these just for those landing on the show for the first time. This has nothing to do with anything that I read in the Almanac, but I was in D.C. for part of my vacation. And of course, talk of the Virginia Commanders, Aaron, and one of the just horrible notes that I heard, a 53-man roster. Do you know how many current Commanders played for the Skins 3 years ago?
It's probably like three.
It's 12, and I couldn't believe how low that was. Like,
that's the way the NFL is, man. You look at every team, and you're going to find that.
Is that normal?
Remember, 3 years ago, Tom Brady was on the Patriots, dude.
But 12 out of 53? Like, I compare it to, I don't know, this is a terrible comparison because I'm comparing it to baseball, but let's think the Giants World Series 2010, 2012, 2014. They had nine guys that played on all those teams, right? Continuity. Continuity matters in football, like, more than anything, I think you would agree. 12?
I'll bet you if you look at every team in the league, you're going to find similar numbers. I don't think Washington is abnormal at all.
Okay. All right. And by the way, four of those 12, you know, your grandmother could have drafted. So it's like, you know, it's not even that. Like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, wow, okay, Payne, Allen, McLaurin, and who's the other one I'm thinking about? Somebody. Oh, it's Sweat. Like, anybody could have drafted those four guys. So it's really like eight shots otherwise. That's what they've done in 3 years. Anyway, you're telling me it's more normal. That gives me some sense.
Oh, I think that's much more normal. I bet. Okay. I mean, I can't do the research while we're on the air here, but I'll bet you if I picked a random team, it would come out somewhere between 12 and 15 players.
Really? What a change. Because I'm just, in the history of that team, I'm just thinking, okay, Spurrier and Schottenheimer, they did turnovers. But other than those two administrations, I'm like, this seems really crazy.
Look at the last Patriots championship, which is 2018, compared to the Patriots last year. It's a tremendous amount of turnover.
Yeah, but 2018 ain't 2020, right? Oh, no, 2019, I guess we're talking about. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Okay, let me ask you this right before the break, because we're going to break, so maybe I'll ask it on the other end. But I want to ask you about the stat that you uncovered, NFC-focused, the stat that you uncovered in the Almanac for NFC teams that was the most sort of eye-opening and perhaps you believe is the most sort of open to regression. That's always what we're looking for in betting, trying to get an edge on something that is unsustainable. I have one in mind. I'm curious, of all the numbers, because there's tons of them in the Almanac, if you landed on this, and well, mine has to do with the Niners. We'll talk about that and other thoughts on the NFC with Aaron Schatz on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSiN1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM's state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSiN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in Nevada or New York. It's Gil Alexander. Aaron Schatz, the creator, the founder of Football Outsiders, kind enough to hang with us this morning. He'll be back Thursday to talk some AFC with us. First of all, because I don't want to run into a wall with this, how can people get the Almanac, Aaron? What's the best way?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Football Outsiders Almanac, you can get the electronic version, reading all the chapters online, downloading the PDF that has all the college stuff and all the fantasy football stuff, by becoming a subscriber to FO Plus by going to footballoutsiders.com/subscribe. That also gets you the Kubiak fantasy football draft tool, the in-season fantasy projections every week, picks against the spread, fantasy tools, research tools, all kinds of database stuff. That all comes with FO Plus. If you want the big book version, the old school paper version, just go to Amazon and search for Football Outsiders Almanac 2022. It is $29.99 on Amazon.
Beautiful. You can follow Aaron at FO_A Schatz. He has all that information there as well, I'm sure. A-S-C-H-A-T-Z. What have you learned through the years doing all these almanacs? I mean, 18 years of the Almanac, 20 years of Football Outsiders, like doing the Almanac itself. Are you still learning stuff every year that you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming?
Oh, there's so much going on in the analytics world. There's so many great follows on analytics Twitter. There's just a lot of really interesting stuff. I think a lot of the interesting research that's being done now is about the idea of like weak systems, weak link systems versus strong link systems. You know, the idea that it's not enough to get a star offensive lineman. What you really need to do with the offensive line is to not have any weak spots. It's better to have five average offensive linemen than like one really good one and one really bad one and three average ones.
Stuff like that. Also, your famous that sort of reminds me of your famous thing about with running backs. Much better to have a guy who churns out 4 or 5 yards as opposed to one dude who's running 80 yards on one and then zero and minus one, you know, the next three carries as
yeah.
well.
Although that may be more dependent on the offensive line than we thought at first.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, some of those guys who break long might actually be more valuable because it's about what you can do with the blocking that you get. And that's another place where analytics has really come a long way in the last couple of years with the NFL's rushing yards over expected model that's based on where the blockers and defenders are at the time of the handoff. There's so much that can be done with that tracking data in the pads. We're just starting to scrape the surface.
Okay, the most beautiful thing for me in all this is, and this relates to other sports handicapping, you're really trying to find, you know, things that are unsustainable from one year to another and sort of then exploit that from a betting standpoint. And you have in the almanac just a myriad of stats per team, let alone per conference, per league. And there was one from the Niners. I'm curious which one you thought was the most incredible. But, yeah, I'm going through every little detail. And one from the Niners, who obviously were a very successful team last year, got to the cusp of a Super Bowl. Although the 49ers were just eighth with 56 defensive penalties, they led the NFL with 629 defensive penalty yards, thanks in part to a league-leading 23 defensive PI penalties. No other defense had more than 16 defensive PIs during the regular season. I always look at stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, they overcame all of that. But then I thought, from past almanacs, don't I remember you writing that defensive penalty yards never matter?
Well, it's not that they don't matter. It's that they don't correlate necessarily with losing. DPIs are a little different because there's so many yards.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, defensive penalties are demonstrative of good, close play. To play good defense, you have to go right up to the edge of penalty, which means you're going to get penalized a little bit more often. But you make up for it with good defensive play. So there's really no correlation between the number of defensive penalties and, like, losing games.
629 defensive penalty yards that just, like, scuffed off. Was there a stat that you would have answered to that same question? Like, what NFC stat was the most interesting to you?
I was going to say I have a good number of AFC ones for Thursday. But I think the interesting might be to compare defenses based on takeaways, because takeaways really regress heavily from year to year, much more than yardage allowed. So, for example, Dallas was number one in the NFCs in takeaways per drive on defense, whereas San Francisco was, I think, below average in takeaways per drive. So the San Francisco defense is more likely to continue playing at last year's level than the Dallas defense is, because the Dallas defense is going to regress because of those takeaways, whereas San Francisco, the yards allowed is going to be much more consistent.
That's what I'm looking for. Now, of course, with San Francisco, there's as with anything, right, in any sport or in any football team, there's so much more. And with the Niners, obviously, the biggest thing being the Trey Lance matter, the Trey Lance in for Jimmy Garoppolo. We assume that's going to happen here. How do you account, like, when you're projecting, what do you do with a player like Trey Lance when you have no real priors?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's total guesswork, honestly. I mean, it's based in part on what the offense did without him, right? Because, you know, you put a quarterback into a good offense, you'll get better results than if you put a quarterback into a bad offense. But you're talking about a guy who played 1 year and it wasn't even at the FBS level. It's total guesswork.
You said the Saints were your favorite win total to the over in the NFC. I'll put you on the spot. Was there one to the under that stood out at all?
I'm going to get lambasted for this.
Uh-oh.
The Packers keep beating their numbers should be. They keep beating their underlying statistics year after year, and I feel like it just can't continue forever. And it's not that they're not a good team, but 11 is a lot. You know, lots of things can go wrong. Oh, 11 and a half you have it at. Yeah, then I really like the under, although obviously the minus 140 is, you know, they're trying to get you to go with the over with the plus 110. But I think if I'm going to pick an under on one team in the NFC, it's the Packers. They keep playing like a 10-win team, even though they keep winning 13 games. One of these years, they're going to play like a 10-win team and be a 10-win team. and it's more likely to be the year they don't have Devontae Adams.
Okay, so that was the, that begs that question, obviously, right? That's where I was going with this, which is, first of all, I agree with your premise. Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers probably makes up for so many flaws that we, the common fan, can't even ascertain on a play-by-play basis. But now you take away a guy who we often said on this show, it's like he was tied by a string. Those two guys were tied by a string together. It was amazing how they read each other's minds. And now you take him away. Aaron Rodgers has always had a pretty elite wide receiver throughout his career. You know, Jordy Nelson comes to mind. There were others, right? There was the Driver years. I don't know. Greg Jennings was in there. I don't know how elite they were, but they were, you know, and then there's the chicken and the egg. Did Rodgers make them? Did they make Rodgers? But what do you do with that? Like, where do you stand on not only Devontae leaving that team, Tyreek obviously going from the Chiefs to the Dolphins? Like, what can you project in terms of that? Because I know in the past, like we used to say about DeSean Jackson, him leaving a team hurt the team he's leaving more than it helped the team he was going to.
That's right. Losing star wide receivers is bad. Like, the projection system that we have has a variable for the amount of net talent that you gain or lose. And losing star wide receivers is bad. So, I mean, I don't think there's any question. You can't expect the Packers to be as good on offense as they have been in recent years. They might be, you know, but it's not likely. And therefore, you have to sort of guess that they're not going to be quite as good. Part of what's going on with the Packers is there is this really strong expectation that their defense is going to put it all together this year. That is a really subjective viewpoint that is not backed by data in any way. People look at the talent they have on defense and what they added in the draft, and they go, oh, that's it. They're going to put it all together. And maybe they will, but they have not had an above-average defense in any of the last few years, even when Jaire Alexander was healthy a couple of years ago. So you have to be like, Jaire Alexander plus new defensive coordinator from last year and second year in the system, and the rookies, Walker and the defensive lineman, Wyatt. You have to put a lot together to get the Packers to an above-average defense.
All right, real quick, we only have 30 seconds, Aaron. If I come from the future and I say, hey, coach of the year came from the NFC, that coach would be?
Kevin O'Connell.
All right. Consistent with what Aaron was saying earlier about some stance, or at least in the almanac, on Kevin O'Connell's squad. Aaron, we'll have you back on Thursday. We'll talk some AFC. FO_A Shots. That is your Twitter?
Yep.
Okay. The Football Almanac 2020 Football Outsiders Almanac. Love having you, Aaron. We'll do it again on Thursday, man. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Talk to you on Thursday. And also, people should check at FB Outsiders on Twitter. It's easier to spell than my name.
There you go. Baseball with Mark Borchard next.